He's the biggest Red Raider fan in America. Riley Gates joins us. Talk K-State athletics. You know, it's funny that when you have that intro, Riley, that you were so high on Texas Tech early in the year that you gave K-State no chance of beating them. But, you know, honestly, when you think about it now, you kind of were right. I mean, look how good they are now.
Well, and I went to bat for Texas Tech and Chris Beard, and I took them to the Final Four in my bracket this year.
I know.
I was very confident about that. I was very confident about them in the Big 12. So as wrong as I might have been about K-State, because, you know, the thing that quote unquote matters, I was pretty right about Texas Tech. So I'm gonna put that one on my resume.
I've decided that if you are really really close to a situation and you're trying to make predictions, that we all suck at it. That's really my conclusion, because,
yeah,
you know, you're close to K-State, but your predictions on K-State have really been not good. You know that. And so Texas Tech, you don't know as well, and you're nailing those predictions. It's kind of like the bracket contest in my house. My wife knows nothing about any of the basketball teams other than a little bit about K-State and KU. That's it. It's all she knows. Every year, she pulverizes everyone in the family with this bracket contest, and right now, she has two of the Final Four teams correct, Virginia, Michigan State, and Dusty says in our little contest here at the radio station, she has a chance to finish second. And she knows, and she will be the first to tell you she knows nothing about it. And there, once again, I'm too close to the situation. That's my excuse. KU, K-State, I follow them closely, talk about it every day on the Sports Ticket. And then you ask us to make predictions on a bracket, and it implodes.
Well, and I think that's a lot of it's because a lot of those people that don't know a whole lot about, you know, they don't follow it all that closely. They just like to make brackets. A lot of the times they like to go chalk, you know, pick those higher seeds. And this year, I swear, you know, I haven't done the research. This has to be one of the top 3 years for chalked brackets. So it kind of benefited people like that this year.
I have to give my wife credit. She picked Michigan State to beat Duke in most brackets in America.
Oh, there you go.
Duke. I mean, she had that one right, too. So
pretty good call.
Not bad. I think she had Gonzaga in the Elite Eight, so she was, I mean, she did pretty well. I'm going to have to start taking notes and learn from her, apparently. okay, so let's start with basketball a little bit, and then we'll go into football. When we talked last week about the future for K-State, of course, we know Wade and Brown and Stokes are graduating and will be gone. We talked about their pro potential and where they might play, so forth and so on, and we talked about Wade's injuries, this and that. But Xavier Sneed is an interesting situation because he does have, it seems to me, the type of body that would do all right in the NBA. And I think when people initially hear guys like Xavier Sneed or Quentin Grimes, although Xavier is much more experienced, and people hear that those guys might enter the draft but not sign with an agent, the first thing that people do is they start chuckling and they scoff at it. But what a lot of people don't understand is that it's not about what you did in college. It's about the potential and how you fit in the NBA. I mean, Jacob Pullen was an amazing college basketball player. Sharon Collins was an amazing college basketball player. There's one for K-State and KU. Neither one did anything hardly at all in the NBA. And we see so many guys that don't even start for like North Carolina, Duke in some years in Kentucky, get drafted as a lottery pick, and they like average 4 points a game at their school because it's all about upside and potential. What are you hearing about Xavier Sneed, and do you think there's really any legitimate chance that he would leave K-State and stay in regards to the NBA draft?
Well, you know, I'm hearing that Xavier's going to put his name in.
Sure.
You know, a lot like Barry did last year, get some feedback from NBA people and then return is kind of the plan out there right now, unless, you know, if he were to hear from somebody, hey, if you stay in, you know, we're going to take you with our first-round pick, or we're going to take you with our second-round pick, whatever. It would have to be a guarantee like that. You know, he's not going to roll the dice on a potential and obviously give up the chance to have one more year of development. I mean, that's just kind of obvious. But you're right. He does have that frame, that body that you need to play at the NBA. And, you know, another guy from K-State that you would have never thought really all that much of was Wesley Iwundu.
Yeah.
Going into the NBA. And here he is, you know, last night he was like, I think he was 7-for-7 with, I don't know, 6 rebounds. I mean, he had a great game last night for the Magic. And if I'm not mistaken, he's either right outside of the starting lineup or even in it for the Magic. So a lot of it is about, like you said, the body, the potential that somebody sees in you, because coaches are different at that level. You know, that what one coach in the NBA sees might not be how Bruce Weber sees Xavier Sneed, and they might coach him differently. I'm very confident that he'll be back at K-State for his senior year, and he'll, you know, try to make that one final push, try to get to the point where he actually can play in the NBA. But I would fully expect him to enter his name, and frankly, I'm kind of a little shocked he hasn't done it by now because, you know, I have the dates in front of me right now. I had them when I was researching them the other day, but the date to put your name in is kind of coming up decently soon, and then you have to be out by pretty early in June, so you kind of got to get that ball rolling and go get those workouts done if you're going to do that.
Riley Gates, our K-State insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Just to follow up on a point you made, you mentioned Wesley Iwundu. He's at the age of 24, second NBA season. He's playing 18 minutes a game for Orlando. He's averaging 5 points, 2 rebounds a game, it looks like, and he's shooting 81% from the line. I mean, if you're in the NBA and you're playing 18 minutes a game, you're an important player on your team, and that's not something that a lot of K-Staters thought. He would probably be that successful in the NBA, but he has the body that fits the league.
Right, and Wes is a kid that I really never thought would probably get there because of his jump shooting ability, but he seems to have kind of developed his shot a little bit better. He's taken that stride, and now he's up there playing. So it's definitely something that Xavier can get to once he develops a little bit further, kind of works at his craft a little bit more. I expect him to play in the NBA. It's just, you know, a matter of when and where, obviously.
All right. One of the things that's been talked about is abolishing the one-and-done rule with the NBA and the NCAA. And the reason I bring this up is that if, in fact, all of this goes through and you end up eliminating the one-and-done where you can come straight out of high school and you go into the pros, that could impact some kids' decisions the next few years in regards to the amount of talent that is in the draft pool, if you catch my drift. So if you are thinking about coming back, you have to factor that in a little bit, is that down the line you could have talent that is at the high school level that doesn't play in college that now could be drafted in the same draft that when you come out. Do you think that's a factor now for some of these guys? And I don't know if it's a factor for Xavier Sneed or not, because if he comes back, he's only got 1 year anyway. But some of these guys will be like, well, if I come back 1 year, maybe you're almost going to need to come back for two.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't think of really any examples off the top of my head like that without you sitting down and looking at drafts. But it's kind of like, it's just a situation where you do, like you said, have to look at it. And it is also interesting because I don't think a guy like Zion Williamson, I don't think he would have been the first pick in the NBA draft if he hadn't gone to Duke for a year. I don't think he was, because he definitely wasn't thought of to be the number one player out there. He wasn't ranked number one. I mean, he was ranked high, don't get me wrong, but he was not the number one player out there. And probably some people could have looked at some upperclassmen and thought, you know, that they would be picked before Zion in an NBA draft. But now the thought of anybody being picked before Zion Williamson is absurd. So, you know, you do have to factor in things like that, and it's definitely going to play an impact on those decisions now. You know, with the collective bargaining agreement, we're not going to see any changes for what, I don't know, 4 more years, something like that. Maybe I think it's 2022 or 2023 when the CBA is up. But it'll definitely be interesting to see how that impacts, because I do think we could see some players that maybe should go stay, or maybe, you know, shouldn't go leave. It'll be a fun storyline to watch, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You know, it's interesting because, you know, we had LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, and guys that, and those are the success stories, of course, that went from high school and NBA, and they were successful. But more often than not, those guys were not successful and stuck in the league. Some guys made the wrong decision. And then there's times where you mentioned Zion. He certainly benefited from the brand, you know, and being at Duke helped, certainly. And then, of course, his amazing talent, his freak ability. And then there are other guys that end up probably would have been better off had they not go to college at all. And I'll give you an example of that. That'd be Quentin Grimes, I mean, Quentin Grimes mm-hmm. probably would have been a lottery pick, or at least a first-round pick for sure, had a great game against Michigan State to start the year, and then just never gelled. And I think that's a tough decision for a young man, whether it's a Quentin Grimes or if there would be somebody of the equivalent like that at Kansas State. If Cartier Jada, I know he's not, but let's say he was a freshman and he had a nice season this year, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, he's not ready for the NBA. But there's so many things that you have to think about in regards to coming out. And if you got at least, as Brian Haney said, I think last week when we were talking about some of this stuff, it only takes one. It only takes one team that's enamored with you, that really likes you, for you to make that decision to come out. And you mentioned earlier, if somebody told Xavier Sneed, hey, we really like you and we're going to take you in the first or second round for sure, is second round high enough for Xavier Sneed? I don't know. And then there's also the other thing. There's all kinds of professional options out there. People forget. It's not just the NBA or college. You've got overseas. You can make a lot of money over in Europe. There's a lot of former K-Staters and KU players that make good money overseas too.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's kind of, you could just look at, I don't mean to dog on KU or anything, but just look at a bunch of their former players that you kind of thought were going to go on to do big things in the NBA. Xavier Henry is the one that comes to mind for me, and he was supposed to be this stud, and and didn't really hear much about him after he got to KU. So it definitely is a rule that has a lot of positives that a lot of people think. People look at a guy like Zion and they say, well, what's he doing in college basketball? He could be dominating the NBA, and he could be making millions of dollars. And then you look at guys like Xavier Henry, where he got to college and he just didn't pan out, and then he didn't have an NBA career. It is really interesting to see, because it's thought of to be this overwhelmingly positive decision, when in all reality it could be a negative for some people.
And some of those kids have no intent. They go in, and that might have happened with Quentin Grimes, or even I remember Josh Selby was another example, Riley, where the kid has no intent of finishing school. He's going there because he has to go to college for 1 year. And then what happens when, hey, it's not as good a year as he's thought, and next thing you know, you're scrambling, in some cases, maybe to even be eligible to play the next year because you thought you were gone. It's a fascinating discussion, and I think there's so many moving parts in this decision, and the layman fan just automatically thinks it's simple. You're not ready, you stay. And if you're ready, you go. And it's just not that simple at all. All right, let's talk about the recruiting. What's K-State going to target? What do you hear on the recruiting trail when it comes to replacing Brown and Stokes and Wade and how they're going to formulate their roster next year?
Well, it's kind of funny because they have zero open scholarships, and it feels like they're trying to sign 9 kids. It's like, okay, they're after another transfer. They're after another 2019 kid. And I'm just kind of like, well, how are you going to get them on board? But yeah, they are after some transfers. Probably the biggest notable transfer out there on the market is Pat Andrie. Mm-hmm. He is a forward from Lehigh who actually played K-State and yep. went 4-7 from the 3-point line, which is really funny.
He's a good shooter.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I read somewhere that Lehigh was the number one 3-point shooting team this year. That might be wrong, but. And he was a huge reason for that, if so. So he's out there on the transfer market. And then there's a guy out at UNLV. I can't ever say his name right. Shakir Jewistan. I'm not exactly sure on the pronunciation. I sound uneducated there. But he's a potential target on the transfer market. And they're also hitting up the 2019 class still. Most notably, yesterday they had Caleb Grill on campus. And he's the guard from Mays here in Kansas that was a South Dakota State signee, and then when the South Dakota State coach headed off to UNLV to take over the head coaching job there, Caleb decided he didn't really want to go to South Dakota State anymore, so he's back on the market, and man, he's being chased by some big schools. Iowa State, K-State, Illinois, Wisconsin are in there, so there's a lot of people after him, and then there's a couple other 2019 names that they're a little bit interested on as well, so it's really interesting to me to see what they're going to do, because I feel like they need a guy to come in and make an immediate impact mm-hmm. like a Pat Andrie. I think he would be in the starting lineup. He would be able to hit shots, and that's what this team needs. The defense is fine. They need someone that can shoot, as we saw this year, and Pat would be the perfect one to step in and do that, but I don't know if they're going to get him. I don't know where he sits on K-State's list of priorities. a kid like Caleb Grill is a fantastic get, and I would love to see K-State sign him. However, he's not going to probably make too much of an impact next year. I mean, he might get some minutes here and there, but he's not going to start. And I just don't see him getting tons of minutes next year, so it'd be a developmental thing. So I don't really know which angle K-State's going to try to take on this one. I don't know if they're wanting immediate help or if they're wanting to build for the future. But there's plenty of options out there. The biggest thing is they can't whiff on this. They whiffed big last year. They had a transfer from NJIT, transfer from Illinois and Mark Smith. I mean, they went after five or six transfers, and they whiffed on every single one of them. So, and they didn't just back off. You know, they straight up missed on some kids. So you got to go out there. You got to land some people and try to help build your team, whether it's for the future, whether for next year, because clearly there's not enough depth. There's not enough recruiting that's gone well for K-State in order to maintain this level of success. And, you know, nobody's saying you have to win the Big 12 every year, but you need to be competitive. And to do that, you're going to have to replace this this production that you're losing, because it's really big, no doubt.
Go Powercats. Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you each Tuesday by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. All right, let's shift to football. The spring showcase, the spring game, whatever you want to call it, coming up on Saturday, April the 13th. We'll talk more about this next week or the next couple of weeks with you. Really, I guess what I want to know from you is give people a feel of how different things are there. We've talked about a little bit here and there, but we've had you on every Tuesday talk about it from time to time. Brian Smoller we had on a few weeks ago talking a little bit about how the music was blaring. There was rap music or something there at Bill Snyder Family Stadium, which is just like, what is that? That's crazy. Just talk about the overall, just the sea change, I guess you can call it, and how they're approaching things, doing things with the spring football.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal, the changes that have been made. And, you know, you kind of mentioned the music there, and somebody might hear that and think, oh, you know, well, practice music, that's not really that noticeable of a change, or that's not that big of a deal. But it really is a big deal. You know, kids nowadays, they're kind of into that music, and that's what they want to hear when they're, you know, working out or practicing or whatever. And it gets them excited, and it gets them ready to go. And that's so that they're letting them have that freedom that the old regime really didn't let these players have a whole lot of. There seems to be energy, you know, whether it's energy with teammates, whether it's energy with your coaches. They all seem to really, really like each other. They seem to like what they have going in those relationships. And I think that's the biggest thing that you could really want if you're a K-State player, a K-State coach, is that you have this relationship that you're not just, you know, player and coach. Yeah, obviously that's the big one, and you can't get to a point where you're sitting here and saying, like, oh, you know, we're not very good, but at least we're friends and everything. You know, that's not what you're wanting out of a program. But they're definitely getting to a point where they're close with each other, and I think that's going to help you play a little bit better. You know, if you like the coach you're playing for, if you can respect your position coach, you're going to play a little bit harder for him. So I think there's, you know, it seems like the lazy way to describe it, because that's what we've been saying this whole time, but just a new sense of energy and a sense of belonging, I guess, in this program. You know, the players feel like it's their program once again. They feel like they're a part of it, and their voices, their opinions matter. And I think that as K-State fans, you're getting to see what your coaches are about, who they are as people, and not just, you know, what they do on game days. And allowing, you know, I always talk about having this access to assistant coaches. Here in about an hour, we're going to go talk to Scotty Hazleton. And I always talk about how it's great for me. It makes my job easier. But for fans, it makes it better because, you know, all you ever did with Dana Dimmel or Mike Cox, or any defensive coordinator at K-State, I mean, you just yelled at them through Twitter, really. I mean, there's no real way to feel like they were real people. It almost felt like they weren't part of the team. And here they are, front and center. You're hearing from them. You're hitting their comments. I think that there's just new life in this program, and it desperately needed it for the last 5 years or so. It's just been kind of getting quieter and didn't really feel like a fun football program to be around, and now it really feels that way.
Yeah, you, as a fan base, you feel like, yeah, you said it right. I mean, you feel like you're a part of it, and you're – involved a little bit more, whether or not that's really true or not. You feel it. And if you feel that, then you might be a little bit more willing to donate to the program or buy a ticket or whatever the case may be. Now, of course, you still got to go out and win. And if K-State goes out 3-9, all this stuff is warm and fuzzy, goes by the wayside. So, and then people are like, oh, see, Bill Snyder, we should have never ran him out of town or whatever. Okay, time for the off-the-wall question. Yesterday was April Fool's Day. Best April Fool's prank you have pulled or you were a victim of, Riley?
Oh, man. Okay, this is... So, when I was... I want to say I was a freshman in high school, maybe. I was either late junior high or early high school. Joe Holdren had just gotten to St. John's. He's kind of pretty new, and he's a big Nebraska guy. And so we went into his room and, like, decked it out in K-State and KU stuff, and, you know, I had Big 12 banners, and I hung them all up over his office, and except for the Nebraska one, you know, we went and hid that. And it was like, oh, you know, we got him. We decked it out in K-State stuff. And then we got called into the office. It was me and a couple other people, and was like, you know, we had the demerit slips or whatever, and we all got them for like destruction of a teacher's room or personal privacy invasion. I don't remember what the rule was, and we were all just like so scared, man. It was the scariest moment of my life at that point. And that was they got us back on that April Fool's joke. So we thought we had the upper hand in it.
Uh-huh.
And then it ended up, he ended up getting the last laugh there. So that is without a doubt the best joke I've ever been involved with and probably ever will be.
So you were in essence the perpetrator but became the victim of the thing. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh my. Were you the ringleader of this idea, or were you a leader or a follower on that whole idea?
I would say that I was a follower initially, but once it got in motion, I definitely took it by the horns and ran with it.
That's good. I love that. I love that. I've done some cruel April Fool's jokes on people, and I got paid back yesterday a little bit. My wife, when we were, she had her our the wedding ring, it needed to be fixed or something, and then I came up with some story and got her all worried about that, and I won't go in detail, but she was not very happy, and then eventually I had to tell her it was April Fool's joke. Best one I ever did was I pulled on my mother, Riley, and that was I was at Pittsburgh State University, and I was supposed to graduate, and it was my mom sent out the invitations, you know, for all that stuff, and I called her, and I just had been bench pressing up in the ghetto greenhouse we lived in with no insulation. You could see your breath when it was cold because we were cheap. We had to afford, you know, money for Natty Light and ramen noodles, to be honest with you. And so anyway, after I just worked out, I decided to call my mom, and I'm kind of like almost sound like I'm hyperventilating, and I'm like, Mom, and my mom's the sweetest person in the world. If you ever met her, you would agree. And I said, Mom, I've got bad news. I said, I'm not going to graduate in May. They're not going to allow me to walk because when I transferred to Bethany College, they found out there was an error in my transcript, and I'm a class 3-hour credit short of graduating. So I have to wait and walk next semester. And you hear this just complete silence on the other end of the line because I know my mom's thinking, oh my God, I sent out all these invitations, blah, 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 da, 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 da. And so she goes, oh, son, it's okay. And she's all sweet and nice to me. I said, Mom, what is today? And she pauses, and then she looks at the calendar, I can assume, and then she screamed at me. And my mom has never screamed at me before, Riley, but she did. And that was cruel of me. I did that. So yesterday, you'll love this, Riley. So my son, he's 12. He comes home. He gets home from track and field practice. I always ask him, how was your day? And I said, hey, how was track and field practice? It was all right. And I usually then say, well, how was school? Well, he beats me to the punch. And he said, yeah, but school was not very good. I was like, well, that's weird, because usually he just says it's boring. He doesn't say anything specific about school. So I bit hook, line, and sinker. I said, well, what happened at school? He goes, well, I got Saturday school. Now, if you know my son, Riley, you know that's not far-fetched. He's been in trouble before a few times. He's ornery. I said, Saturday school? What'd you do? And he says, without skipping a beat, well, we state assessment test, I skipped all the questions on purpose. I said, what? I said, who else did that? I was the only one. I go, son, why would you do that? And he looks at me, smiles, and goes, April Fool's. Oh, my goodness, he had me so good. So just remember that when you do these pranks, and it happened to you immediately, for me, it's taken a few years later, what goes around comes around, right?
Absolutely. And we are in the business that we are in, it's not a great day. I had like two or three people, you know, well, I heard Bruce Weber's going to retire today. And I was just an idiot. I didn't know. I was like, are you serious? So I'm like checking this. I don't like April Fool's Day, and I'm glad that it is gone and it's only one day a year.
Well, I have to admit, when there's a real news story that breaks, I don't trust it. Like yesterday, they said Belmont coach has retired. I'm like, is that true? I mean, it's April Fool's Day. Why would you have breaking news on April Fool's Day unless it's not true, you know?
And like all that, the full strength beer at grocery stores and stuff. People thought for weeks that was an April Fool's joke. And I'm like, no, like it is a law, a bill that got passed. Like it's happening. It's very tough to convince people of anything on that day.
Yeah, because there's people who are just completely gullible or they're completely paranoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other. Oh man! All right.
Absolutely.
What are you working on at the website, other than coming up with some April Fool's pranks for next year?
Spring football galore. You know, we just got tons of stuff out there, and it just seems like we've got all the content we could ever want anymore. Just because we have, like I said earlier, all that access, so it's really fun, and we've got a plan ahead for this week. Next week, we finally bought a marker board at our office, and like I can plan out like our you know, the next 6 days of content or whatever. And I have a lot of OCD in me, and it makes me really happy. So I get to go in there and write it all up, and it looks like we're gonna have a good week ahead. So I'm pretty excited.
You guys finally splurged for a marker board. That's good to know.
Yeah, big for us. It's one of the glass ones though, so it was a little pricey. Yeah. I don't lie, pricey, but it's pretty nice.
Well, subscriptions going up, which means you need more subscriptions to maintain that and get another one, right?
Absolutely. We all get our own marker board.
That sounds good. Hey, man, always enjoy the time. Next week we'll talk more specifically about the spring showcase coming up on April 13th. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, man.
All right, sounds good. See
Take
you
care. Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider from Go Powercat, does a great job. Check him out on the web, gopowercat.com. Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.